What do we know now about the U.S. labor market? But first, gassing up in the southeast with this hurricane now. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Moving to shelter from the hurricane requires gasoline in this fossil fuel-dependent world. And with a storm the size of Matthew, there are going to be problems in that gasoline supply chain. Florida's governor had asked motorists to only buy the fuel they need, but people being people, some will still fill up. There have been preparations for some of this. Mark Merritt is the former deputy chief of staff for FEMA and co-founded DCMC Partners, a public safety consultancy group.
There are going to be some temporary shortages as they move the commodity throughout the state based on the actual need. There is a huge stress on the system with the significant amount of individuals that were evacuating from the coast. So it's very difficult to have enough tanker trucks to be able to keep all those individual gas stations filled. So if there is a shortage, it will most likely be temporary, giving the individual gas stations time to refill their stocks from the commodities that are already in the state.
So you think this applies not just to Florida, but to other states that might be affected here, in which we might see spotty shortages, some gas stations without supply, but it will be temporary?
Absolutely. This storm is not impacting the production capacity of the country. So it is a matter of just supply and in providing those resources from the production facilities and the storage facilities down to the actual point of distribution or the gas stations. So fortunately, you know, we're not going to see a huge impact to the national production capacity. So any shortages will be temporary. They've planned for this. And then FEMA, through the support of Department of Energy and other federal agencies, are standing by to provide any assistance they need if it exceeds the capacity of the state.
So we have these supply issues, but of course, power, electric power, can also affect the ability of a gas station to actually provide the gas. So that'll be something else to watch.
Well, fortunately, in the state of Florida, the good and the bad of disasters is we're usually pretty good at learning from our mistakes. We're not as good as we should be of predicting what those mistakes might be and avoiding them. But in the past years, Florida has learned from that, and they passed a law requiring gas stations along the evacuation routes and other critical facilities like grocery stores to actually have a generator. So they're not totally dependent upon the national utility grids, which are usually heavily impacted by a storm of this nature. So those gas stations most likely will have a generator, so they'll be able to pump the gas if they have it.
Mark Merritt is a former deputy chief of staff for FEMA. His group is called DCMC Partners. This is a public safety consultancy. Mr. Merritt, thank you for this.
Thank you.
Some big market news this morning of 156,000 more people on payrolls for the month of September. That's part of this trend of steady growth, even though this number was lower than expected. A parallel survey, not of payrolls but households, moves the unemployment rate up slightly to 5%. Average hourly wages went up 0.2%, meaning pay is up by about 2.6% over the last year. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial.
The best news in this report is two things. One, that the unemployment rate actually ticked up a little bit to 5%, which might sound weird that that's good news. And the other is that we are finally seeing some decent wage growth. We've had it for about a year. And believe it or not, after 10 years going the other direction, the income gap is closing.
Well, I'll tell you, Chris, the next Trump-Clinton debate is just 2 days from now. It's on Sunday. And you know the moderator, Anderson Cooper, is going to say, well, unemployment rate went up. It went in the wrong direction.
Look, if I were standing up on that stage, I'd be the first to say that's terrible and we need to do something about it. But it is a sort of complex thing. And when the unemployment rate rises because people are losing jobs, that is terrible. If it rises a little bit because there are more people looking, because they're encouraged, they're optimistic, that's actually a good thing. And there are plenty of job opportunities out there. In fact, the number of job openings is the highest in about 15 years. I'm not worried about people finding them. I'm encouraged that they're looking.
All right, Christopher Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, David.
So with today's numbers, it is still a tight labor market. There are companies reporting labor shortages in some areas and fields, including in manufacturing. But as Mitchell Hartman reports from Marketplace's desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, there's the supply of workers issue and there's a separate skills issue.
So this is is our assembly area, and we've got about 45 people in here, two shifts, working on a third shift.
I'm getting the factory tour at Benchmade Knife Company. It's in an industrial park in Oregon City, an old mill town. CEO Les De Asis says his company's hunting and utility knives are precisely tooled by skilled machinists.
We constantly have manufacturing positions, machine operators, finishers, assemblers.
The Manufacturing Institute reports 2 million production jobs will go unfilled in the next decade because workers lack the right skills. According to the trade group, 3 out of 4 executives say this is hampering growth and use of new technology. Bayard Winthrop is CEO of American Giant, a new apparel company.
We're trying to hire as fast as we can, though that's not been the easiest thing for us.
His factories in the textile heartland of the Carolinas use a team manufacturing model. Workers can make $15 an hour, and yet...
Getting good skilled sewers that really want to take on a job like this has been harder than I would have thought. From recruits, there is that sense, like, hold on a second, I need to be learning multiple operations I don't know how to do.
Other executives complain that new high school and community college grads don't have the math and machine skills to operate new equipment. But UC Berkeley economist Jesse Rothstein says companies have ways to fix that.
If firms were having trouble finding people with the right qualifications, the natural response to that is to try to bid the people who do have that experience away from their competitors. And so we should see rising wages. We should also see more firms offering training that they pay for themselves.
At Benchmade, Les De Asis says the skills gap is a real problem, and here's another.
We've interviewed, the offer has been extended, and the candidate has failed a drug test. And, there's nothing more just bothersome or frustrating, disappointing than that.
Sometimes, even with the right skills, workers make a wrong move for a job in manufacturing. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Another big market story we're following today, a moment of extreme volatility in the currency market. For reasons that have yet to be convincingly explained, the British pound fell 6% for a few seconds last night, then recovered. Blame a klutzy trade, blame hardline rhetoric from France and German leaders about not helping to ease Britain's exit from the EU. One headline on Bloomberg blamed the pound's fall on Al Goes. Wasn't sure Al was until I read down. Algorithms, financial trading programs gone wild, perhaps. The pound is at $1.24 now, its worst week since the Brexit vote in June. Now let's go to a diner in St. Louis, the city that'll host Trump versus Clinton Part 2 on Sunday.
My name is Sylvester Bell, and I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, and I'm 57 years old. I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton, that's all, because I believe that she has the mentality of trying to make things better. So that's where I'm casting my vote.
So how you doing today? If you're dying in, just come on this way. The price is right, don't be afraid. It's all right. And what is your name? Your parents name you?
They named me Karen. My name is Karen, last name Taylor. I am a 51-year-old woman. I'm not going to say who I'm going to vote for, but I'm really interested in what both parties would have to say in the debate. Oh, my heart is so burdened with the racial issue. That's probably going to be the number one question. And then from there, I really want to hear what they're going to do about the economic system, how it's going to be improved. Even something about how the taxes are going to be split up among everyone, and if they're going to do anything for our community.
Some views from the Goody Goody Diner in St. Louis. We know it's a good diner because Marketplace's Kimberly Adams went there to record those, and she's from St. Louis. There's more from Kimberly on Marketplace's PM show, in those podcasts, and at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.